Okay, we're on page 1062. We just learned the first pasuk, but we didn't even finish the pasuk. We're on pasuk, Perichofei pasuk Aleph. Okay, Perichofei pasuk Aleph. We'll start again from this pasuk. Ki Elohem, ki Yadiv ben Anoshim. If two people have a grievance between each other, okay, then V'nikshu al ha-mishpat u'shvotum, they will come to the court for judgment. V'itztikos ha-tzadik, and the court makes the right one righteous, to vindicate the righteous one, v'yishios ha-rasha, and they make the wicked one guilty. Okay, that's the simple case. You come to court, seemingly it's for monetary issues. So it says, and it's interesting, Rashi says a statement over here that ki yadiv bein anoshim, if the people are going to have a fight, Rashi says, ain shalom yetzim mitech meriva. They'll never have peace when there's a fight. But if you go to Beis Din, then the Beis Din makes peace between the two. Okay, so the bottom line is, people have a litigation, monetary issue, whatever it is. They go to court, the court says, you're right and you're wrong. So it says, v'hoye em bin ha-keser osho. It will be when the wicked one is liable to lashes. Okay? V'ipilu ha-shefet, and the judge should cast him down. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. V'ikol lefan of him, hit before him. K'dei yishosi b'mishpah, based on his weaknesses, wickedness, in an account. You know, you have to give him malchus. All the mepharshim ask over here a very simple question. So the question is, the pasuk seems to imply, if two people have a court case over money, and you're right and I'm wrong, so I get whipped. There's no such din. There is no such law, because you lose a court case of financial things, you get malchus. So therefore, Rashi quotes in the, from the Gemara, from the Medrash, that it means, sometimes you get malchus. Okay? What does the malchus mean? So the Mepharshim explain, and this is what we started discussing last time, if there's Edom Zeimimin. In other words, if two people wanted to testify against somebody, and then they were proven wrong by another two witnesses coming and say, how could you say you were with us? So then the din is, you do to them what they wanted to do to the person that they testified against. But we learned last week, what happens if you can't? For instance, they testify, the guy's not a kohen. So what do you say? They're not a kohen anyway. Mm. Right? So then what do you do? So in a case, and this is what the Torah is saying over here, in a case where the witnesses were proven to be false with hazama, I mean not to say Reuven killed, to Shimon killed. Like we said last week, one guy, two witnesses say Reuven killed Shimon Sunday morning, and the other two say, how can you testify you were with us somewhere else? Okay? So sometimes you kill them, sometimes you have to pay money, but what happens if it's not possible for them to do that? Because it doesn't make sense. There's nothing you could do to them what they wanted to do, so then they get malchus. Okay, so this is what the Torah is saying. This is the case when somebody gets malchus for the court judging them that they're wrong. Again, that's why the Gemara also learns in the expression, v'yeshiva says tzaddik, I mean, if it's tzikos at tzadik, v'yeshios at rasha, why is he a rasha? Why is he a rasha? So the first reason is because they had a fight. But also because rasha, because of the testimony. Okay? Like he says, he can't do it. They testify a guy is a kohen, he's not a kohen. So you can't say they're not kohen, because they're not anyway a kohen. Okay? So then you give him malchus.
It's monetary, it's not depending on the coin or not.
I'm saying what happens though if you testify in a way that you lied, but you can't. Then if you testify somebody needs to pay money, then you have to pay money.
So.
What?
Pay money.
You pay money. But if not, then you give him lashes for testifying falsely. Okay, so this is what the Torah says about this. Now, the truth of the matter is, and we're going to see this in another interesting point, malchus is in the place of death. Let's say a guy, even just the guy was warned, ate pig. Remember we said they have to be warned and two kosher witnesses. And then he ate it. So then is, he gets lashes. Yeah. Now, Chazal tell us that lashes is really instead of death. Lashes are in place of death. Because the truth is, anybody that transgresses any commandment of God should get killed. You rebel against the king, right? Even in the physical world. You do something in the presence of the king tells you to do something, you don't. Or the king tells you to do something, you don't do something, you do. Either way. Yeah? Meirid b'malchus was called rebelling against the king. You should be killed right away. But the Torah says, listen, I have pity on you, and therefore we're going to give you malchus. Okay? But that's why it says, v'tzdiku as a tzaddik, meaning they justified him. Why is he a tzaddik? That he's not getting whipped. Okay? Now, another thing is...
1062.
Another interesting thing that we learn out from this pasuk is like this. Let's say two witnesses testify that somebody killed somebody, and therefore they want to get killed. They want to kill him. And then they become Edom HaZemimin. So you kill both the witnesses. You don't kill one. Even though they wanted to kill one guy. They testified Reuven killed Shimon, so Reuven is supposed to die. And then you become Edom HaZemimin, right? So then, what's the din? You kill both of them. Money is a different way. What happens if two people testify that you owe $500 to somebody and then become Edom Zaymimin? So they don't pay 500 each.
Why not?
Because the Torah said, the Gemara said, Mishal Shalom B'mamin. Because that's what they wanted to obligate him to pay between the two of them. Okay. Now, what happens if two people testified, let's say, that they saw this guy eat pig? On Sunday morning, we testified that this guy ate pig. And then they became Edom Zaymimin. Mm-hmm. So now what do you do to them? You whip them.
Make them eat pig.
Now, does each one get half? Or does each one get the whole? No. So the din is, they both get the whole. They both get 39. Why? Because, and this is what we learn out from this pasuk, that Malchus is b'mok, v'tzdiko setzadik v'shio serosha, meaning that Malchus is instead of death, in the place of death. Just like death, you both would get killed. For Malchus, you would both get all 39 lashes, if you were able to do it. But you don't divide it half and half like you would by money. And that's the thing we do.
Money is better, huh?
Money is better than what?
Something.
Some people would rather pay money, some people would rather get hit. Okay?
That's for sure.
Okay, now, the Torah is describing now, it's an interesting thing. Bin HaKreisa Rosha, yeah? The Mefarshim explain that L'Cheira, Bin HaKreisa Rosha means the one wicked one, okay? It should be Ben HaKreisa Rosha. Why is it bin? Bin HaKreisa Rosha. Okay? So it's interesting. We also find Yeshua bin Nun.
Yeah.
Yeshua's father was Nun. Why is he called Yeshua bin Nun? Bin Nun and not Ben Nun?
Because he was found in a bin?
Yeah, right. They spoke English in those days.
How about bin Yamin?
No, Binyamin is, his name is Binyamin. Here, Ben means bin. Okay? So it says like this. Bin, the Rechaim HaKadosh explains like this. What does bin over here mean? From the word bina, understanding. When you give somebody malchus, the Rechaim says, you have to show, is not, in other words, you need precautions, you need understanding. That the purpose of Malchus is not only to provide atonement for the past, it's also for the future. Okay? Meaning like this. According to Torah, and this is a very important concept in the whole concept of punishment, we'll see it when it says, V'nikla achicha le'inecha, okay, in the next pasuk, But the Torah says like this. Unlike other religions, where punishment, even let's say you did something against the king, right? And they killed you, or they whipped you, or they ripped you, whatever they did to you. That was just to get back at you. It was basically a revenge of what the king got back at you for rebelling against the king. In Torah, there's no need for God to take revenge, because he's the boss. He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't need to take revenge. The punishment concept in Torah is actually a cleansing process. It's mamish cleaning. And therefore, we're going to see in the next pasuk or two, v'nikla achicha le'inecha, once he gets whipped, then he's your brother. He's not a sinner anymore. What does punishment do? Punishment is a cleansing process. It actually cleanses. In other words, what happens is, a person sinned, God forbid, they did something wrong, they became spiritually impure. Or to use physical language, they became spiritually dirty. Now you need to be cleaned.
Here or there?
Here. When you get cleansed by punishment in this world, you don't need the punishment in the world to come because you're now clean.
How do you know if it's a punishment in this world or not?
No, if the courts punish you, so then you're getting whipped. That means it's a punishment the Torah says you need to get. So therefore, that actually cleanses the person that he becomes good. After he gets whipped, he's back at tzaddik again.
Settles the account.
It settles the account. Yeah, but not settling account like I'm going to settle with you, you know, I'm going to get you back. Revenge. In that revenge, it's Pashit Hashem is kind, and he says, you need to have Rachmanis on you, so therefore you need to get cleansed. So he says, Vim bin akayse rosho, that you need to have this understanding, this expression of understanding about what you're doing to the person, and why you're doing it, and therefore the halacha was that you had the guy that whipped had more seichel and less power. They didn't want to hit the guy more than what he deserved. So therefore it was actually bin. And the same thing it says, Yeshua bin Nun, the Ramban brings down earlier, it's very interesting, in Parshas Kisisa, when it says, Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Har Sinai, and then it says, Yeshua bin Nun, Nar, umeshar se Yeshua bin Nun nar, lo yomish mitecha oil. Right? So he brings on even at the bottom over here. Why is he bin Nun? It says, Ramban offers, why was he connected to Yeshua? So he says, because he was Moshe Rabbeinu's outstanding student, so Yeshua had a bina in understanding Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Or, as he calls the pasuk in Tillim, Yinun Shmei, that his name will be great. So bin comes in the word bin nun, greatness. So Yeshua had greatness, so he's called bin nun. And the commentators explain the same thing over here. You need to have an understanding of why the person is getting whipped and the purpose of it, so then you won't hit him the wrong way.
Wasn't he always called that bin nun, even at the beginning?
Yeah, but that's why, because he was already a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's already a student of Moshe Rabbeinu from the beginning. By the way, it says over there, they also bring down to the bottom over there, that he was either 56 years old or 42 years old. And yet they called him a nar, a lad. He wasn't a lad at 46 or 52. But it means that he was actually young, given over to Moshe Rabbeinu, like a young child. Okay, so this is what
Isn't there one reportion that say that his name was Hoshea? He got the youth from Sarai.
Yeah, but we said why? No, the question: why is he called Bin Nun, not Ben Nun?
So if the youth has a shva underneath.
No.
So those two came off the segel of the Ben, so he's left with a sechirik.
Okay, that's what's called cute. That's not.
That's a lot of Kabbalah.
No, it's a cute. You have to have other reasons, so this is also cute. Okay, now, the pasuk says like this. If the guy deserved to get beaten, so what did you do? So it says, being a case, v'pilu ha-shefet v'kol lefonav. The judge casts him down and strikes him. So what does this mean? So the Mefarshim explained like this. The guy actually put him down. The din was, when the guy got whipped, he actually was bent over on a amud, and they tied his hands, and then the guy would grab the guy's clothing, and if they ripped, they ripped, they didn't rip, until he opened up his heart. And, because he didn't hit him, when he gave Malchus, he didn't hit the guy on the garment, it had to be on his bare skin. And he says like this, the Chazan HaKnesset, the guy that gave the whippings, had like this, it was a strap of a calf, folded four times, and then they had two tzuos of a chamer, were going in and out of them, okay? Now, why did they put the thing of a chamer? And of an ego, because the ego reminds us of all sins, really, the ego. And the chamor, what we read in last week's parsha, in the haftar of last week, yoda shor koneu, v'chamor evos ba'olov, and yisrael lo yoda. The pasuk in the haftar that we read last Shabbat says, even an ox knows his owner. Even the chamor knows where he gets the food from. Yeah, and the Jew doesn't. So therefore, what they're trying to hint over here, that when a Jew sins, he's even worse than a donkey. A donkey at least knows his master. And the Jew who sinned doesn't know anything. So therefore, they hit him with the strap of a chamud. Now, they hit him a third on his chest and two-thirds on the back. Okay? In other words, they hit him like this. One third of the lashes on his front chest, and then one third on this shoulder in the back, and one third on this shoulder in the back. Okay, that's what the Torah says.
That's what the Muslims.
Where do you think they got it from? Just remember where first.
They do it in a circular, or they do one third.
No, they did three, and I think they did three. And the din was like this. And this because of this reason. Remember, we learned last week that 39 is the max.
Yes.
Okay. But otherwise you estimate how much he's able to handle. But any amount of Malchus that you give him has to be divisible by 3. Because they have to do it in thirds. To one third in the front, two thirds in the back. So let's say you're able to, the doctors estimated the guy, he can have 20 lashes.
21.
No, you can't give him more. So he gave him only 18.
No.
Not more. Because if they estimated for 20, by the way, and the guy gave him 21, and the guy died, so he has to run to the city of refuge for killing the guy accidentally. Okay? So if they said, let's say, estimated he can have 20, so because it has to be divisible by 3, they'll make it 18. If it's 18, it's 18. If it's 17, it goes down to 15, whatever it is. So it says, why does he have to do it? It's because it's brought down like this. Where do they see this? Because he says, in the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos, it says, "Da shino me'ayim basal ulon atoheilech." It says in the Mishnah like this: "Yistaku b'shleisha dvar, meditate on three things; you won't come to sin. Where you're coming from, where you're going, and before whom you have to give a din v'cheshbon." Right. So where you so when a guy sins, he transgresses these three things: where you come from. That's the front of you. Where you're going is the back of you. And because there's two things, where you're going to a place of dirt and maggots, and who you have to give a din v'cheshbon, and before whom you have to give a reckoning to God. So Mefarshim explained, that's why you give one third in the front, two thirds in the back of the Malchus, and that's what he gets. But it says, the judge, in fact it says, that's in the pasuk leinecha. But we'll see. We'll soon see in the next pasuk. The judge, you know, sometimes when you hit somebody, you look away. Not the judge, the guy that hits. You know, you look. The din was it has to be next pasuk leinecha. When the guy hit him, he had to watch where he's hitting. He wasn't allowed to look, turn away and aim. He had to look. It says leinecha. He has to watch what you're doing.
Was it an ordinary guy, or?
No, it was a guy that worked for the Beis Din.
Anybody could get that job.
You want it?
No.
Okay.
No, how does it pay us?
You don't have to.
It has to cover his face, and he's getting hard enough.
There's no lashes. There's no biblical lashes anymore today. In earlier times, there was what's called rabbinic lashes. No. Rabbinic lashes means rabbinically they gave you lashes. If you transgress a rabbinic decree,
yeah, nowadays.
Not nowadays. I'm saying years ago. There's biblical malchus, meaning if you transgress the biblical mitzvah, avera, then you got biblical malchus. If you transgress the rabbinic decree or something like that, they gave you rabbinic malchus, which was much less. But like we said, the malchus is instead of death. And just like death cleanses the person, malchus cleanses the person. Okay? And really he should die, but God was kind, and therefore he get malchus.
On Yom Kippur, we don't get all fours and somebody works out.
Nah, that's a petting zoo. That's a petting zoo.
It's a substitution. No,
you can't use the whip like in Singapore.
No, but today's rabbinic lashes is like extracting money from them.
No. Nope. No.
That's why they don't want to give it.
No. Now, he says, and he brings it down here, but it's something we mentioned many times, that if you transgressed a commandment that Beis Din punishes you, you can never do tshuva. I mean, you could do tshuva, but tshuva is not going to get you off the hook of the punishment.
So what's the point of doing tshuva then?
Between you and God. But if it's a sin where God kills you, God punishes you, then you could do tshuva. And the Gridaranti explains very simply the reason. Because when two witnesses testify you sinned, so Beis Din, through the testimony of the witnesses, saw that you sinned.
Correct?
And the judge can only go by what they see. Hmm. Right? Now, tshuva is in the heart. You could be a great actor, and you can cry your head off, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Like everybody does. You know, they cry and they don't mean it. So Beis Din doesn't see if you did tshuva. Beis Din sees through the testimony of witnesses that you did the crime. Whether you did tshuva or not, they don't know. And they can only go by what they know. So therefore, once they saw the crime, what's going inside your heart of tshuva, they don't know. So therefore tshuva doesn't help. But God knows what's going on in the heart, and God knows you do tshuva, so therefore you're not going to get punished.
How often does God kill a person?
Whenever he's in the mood.
No, really, I'm serious.
I'm answering. Whenever he's in the mood.
Do you know how often, what percentage?
No. Okay, by the way, the Ritzuris was a tefach wide. I mean, they were really solid things. But again, in Torah, the punishments that you have really is malchus and death. There's no, like we learned many times,
no
jail term. What? Payment is monetary. Payment is not spiritual.
I don't understand this.
In other words, if I steal money from you and I pay you back, I still have to ask forgiveness from you. Right? So, money is payment. Money, or even when you have a fine, the Torah gives you a fine, like you still have to pay double, whatever. So that's all a fine, that's all monetary. Cleansing is only the biblical punishments of malchus, of lashes. There's all be fine punishments. There is no jail, like we learned already many times. There's no jail term in Torah as a punishment.
But they can hold you for a while before.
We learned in Chumash, Mekayish Sheitzim, the guy that gathered the wood, whatever. They don't know what is punished, so they held them in prison just to hold them up. Sometimes they'll hold a crazy person that's going around damaging people and he's not liable for his actions. So they will lock him up to protect the people. But there's no jail time punishment in Torah like there is in the secular worlds. The secular world, the exit crime is 25 years to life or 10 years or 5 years, whatever.
Lashes here, then, yes?
Huh?
We had the lashes here.
Yeah, but today the Beis Din doesn't give lashes today.
So Hashem is all forgiving
them? No, he gets the other ways.
Different community.
No, the Gemara says that even though Beis Din doesn't give the four capital punishments anymore, Skila, Sreifa, Heading, and Cheneg, which is stoning, burning, cutting off the head, or choking. He says, the Gemara says, Din Dalid Mises Li Batul, meaning, God still will punish you many times. It's God's business, though. Not the courts. The courts today cannot give capital punishment. Capital punishment stopped in middle of the Second Temple already. In middle of Bayis Sheni, but the Beis Din wasn't all together, the big Beis Din wasn't all together in one place, so capital punishment was abolished. Okay? But the Gemara says, but nevertheless, Din Dalid Mises Li Batla. What does it mean? The Gemara explains, what does it mean? It says that if a guy was supposed to get burnt, let's say, yeah? So they would, God forbid, fall into a fire, or something would happen to them. If a guy was supposed to get choked, yeah? They would get a disease that they can't breathe anymore.
Or drown.
Or drown, right, or drowning, the Gemara says. So in other words, even though the courts can't kill you, but sometimes Hashem could do it and kill you in the way of the courts. But there's no jail term in punishment that we explained many times, very briefly, that I've explained in the Sicha once. Why is there no jail term in Yiddishkeit? Because a person was created for a purpose. To be constructive. To lock up a person in jail where they cannot function in their normal life jobs, life capacity, is a waste of what God created the person for. So he says like this. So how does it work in Torah? If a person did a crime that is so terrible that he deserves to die, that means he forfeited his purpose in creation, and therefore he dies. But to leave a person alive and do contradictory things to what his purpose of living is, that doesn't make sense in Torah. So Torah believes in rehabilitation. Today, Torah believes in rehabilitation rather than jail term, because most of them come out more hardcore criminals than they were before they went in.
Mm-hmm. Right? They learn from each other.
Yeah, they learn from each other, and your powers and in numbers, and they get angry, and whatever. But Torah believes in rehabilitation, but there is no jail term because, like we said, when a person commits a crime, they're supposed to die. To be in the presence of the king, yeah, can you imagine if a physical king, not the president, I mean a real king years ago, a czar, the kings, if the king said to you, do something, and in front of his face you didn't, or a king said in front of his face, don't do it, and you did it, he'd kill you on the spot. Is murder by Malchus. That was the normal routine. So the truth is, God is present. A person does a sin in the presence of God, he should be immediately killed. Hashem said, you know what? I'm a nice guy. Instead of killing you, I'll give you a chance, I'll cleanse you for what you did. The suffering is cleansing, actually, it's a washing machine. It cleanses the person for what they do. And now, go live your life, a constructive life like you're supposed to. Certain times, certain sins are so severe, that you forfeit your right to live. And therefore you gave up the constructive life that God wanted you to achieve, you gave it up, and therefore you die as a cleansing process. But death is the cleansing process.
If there is no death, is not jail, what they do some but America?
What do you mean?
Yeah, what are you supposed to do now?
And what do you do in America now?
No, in the Jewish law.
Like what?
No jail time, no hanging. The,
yeah.
So you
rehabilitate. You rehabilitate the person.
Where you keep it?
No. See, if a guy did, let's say, a guy killed somebody, so Hashem will find a way that the person should die. Or,
everyone dies eventually.
No, but I'm saying either it's sooner, or Hashem will make him so suffer so much that it'll be like death. Like the Gemara says, Golus is worse than death sometimes. Exile is worse than death. What?
Is it a mitzvah to try to get somebody out of jail if we can? Like today?
Depends where they're sitting.
Money? Yes.
But, let's say... It, is the idea if you think you can rehabilitate the person?
Yeah, but it has to be within the system. In other words, you can't let out a rapist, a murderer, and all that. Okay, we'll let him out in the street. Okay, we're going to start rehabilitating them. By the time you rehabilitate him, he'll do another 10 murders.
So then what does it mean?
So it has to be within the system. But the goal should be not to keep the person in prison for an extended period of time, but rather to rehabilitate the person, that sooner they should be able to get back into a normal constructive life. That is the goal according to Torah. But just one more interesting point over here, and that is, we mentioned this in the past, somebody once asked a question on a talk show, radio. If Torah is supposed to be Torah's chesed, we say Friday night, the Neshus Chayil, Poseidah's chesed, Torah's act of chesed. So somebody asked, a guy eats 1 ounce of pig, not a quarter pounder. Quarter pounder is 4 ounces, right? It's four times. A guy eats 1 ounce of chazer. It's not a big piece of chazer, you know what I mean? 1 ounce. 1 ounce, whatever it is, who cares? 1 ounce. We're in America. A guy eats 1 ounce, you give him 39 lashes. Come on. Where's kindness? Can you imagine? A guy eats 1 ounce of pig, you whip, and he was warned, you whip him 39 lashes. Where's decency? Where's kindness? Where is compassion? Okay, hit him one, but 39 lashes, if he's able to handle it. You give him 39 lashes. Like, why is this? So the answer is, so the Rebbe explained a remarkable concept. And this is one another reason why any avera person does, they really should die, and just Hashem is infinitely kind. The Rambam says, we mentioned this in the past, that when it says in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, Lama nivra adam yechidi. Why was the person created alone? When when Adam Rishon was created, yeah, God didn't create one horse, one camel, one donkey. He created thousands of horses, thousands of everything Hashem created. He didn't create one tree. He created millions of trees. The only creation, it says in the Torah, he created one, was Adam. And then he created Chava. So the Mishnah asked the
question.
Okay, but Leper, there's different opinions, but bottom line is, he created Adam, and then the Torah says he created Eve. Right? So, the question is, the Mishnah, Lama Nivra Adam Yechidi, why was the person created alone? Okay, so the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, Shekol Echad Ve'echad Chayiv Leimar, every Jew is obligated to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the world was created for me. Some people take it literal, the whole world was created for me. That most people take it very little. 1 minute. Okay. So the Rambam explains in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says, what does it mean? It can't mean the ego, the whole was created for me, like everybody thinks. So the Rambam says what it means is like this, that Bishvili Nivra Ha'ilah means any action I do will affect the entire world. That's what it means. The world is created for me, meaning any action I do will impact and influence the whole world. So there, the Rambam explains like this. The Rambam says, anytime you're about to do something, good or bad, yeah, picture the world as an equally balanced scale. Good and bad are equal. You do one mitzvah, you will weigh the whole world down to good. You do one aveda, you're going to weigh the whole world down to bad. That means, 1 second. What does it mean that the world was created for me? That any action I do is not affecting
me. World.
It's affecting the whole world. Like there's a famous marshal they give kids. People were traveling on a boat, and a little kid got bored. So he took out his pocket knife and he started making a hole under his seat. So the people said to him, nut job, you're going to drown us. He said, it's my seat, I paid for my seat, mind your own business. So obviously, what does it mean? You're going to make a hole under your seat, you're not going to get drowned, all of us are going to get drowned. That means what you're doing is affecting all of us. So the Torah says, you do a mitzvah, you're going to bring the whole world to good. You do a sin, you're going to bring the whole world to bad. And the Rebbe said like this, in order to get malchus, in order to get whipped, you have to be warned by two kosher witnesses. It has to be done immediately prior to the act, within the amount of time it takes to say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. You have to be mamush within that amount of time. It's called Terek Adei Dibur. Right, 1 second. That's why it didn't happen too often. 1 second. And you're warned right before. And basically what you're being told is that by you eating this pig, this piece of pig, you're going to drag the whole world down to evil. Okay? And the Rebbe said, that is such cruelty on the sinner's part. He knows he's going to affect the whole world into evil, and he can't hold himself back from eating this lousy, stupid piece of pig. Yeah? And he can't hold himself. So the Rebbe said, lashes? That's kindness. The guy deserves to die.
He wasn't very nice. What kind of comment is that? Which Jew wants another Jew to die?
He's saying in God's eyes.
Okay, forget it. So, one minute, let me just finish the point. So therefore, the truth of the matter is, as the Mefarshim explained, Malchus is instead of death. Because the truth of the matter is, the person should have been killed. Okay? The person should have been killed because of what he did. And the Gemara says, Malchus instead of Misa. Because any sin that you do, rebelling against God, you should die. So the Torah gives us Malchus. So even with Malchus, we see it's very lenient. The Torah, you have to check it out, how many he can handle, and so on. What?
By what you're saying, Rabbi, it would seem...
1 second.
It would seem, based on what you're saying, that as long as it's within the law of the land, that if I was to see another Jew about to have a bacon chili cheeseburger, or dog, or something, I should do whatever within the law I could do to try to prevent him from having that burger.
Yeah. Halacha says, you have
there's
a mitzvah in the Torah to admonish your friend. If you have the ability
right,
to stop
him.
He's
going to this, but in practice, these days, I don't think anybody in the world, if their friend's about to do it, is going to get in his face and
yeah, it doesn't, well, it depends how you do it. You can get in his face and yell and scream at him. Yeah, for sure not.
Eventually, he'll say, okay, forget it, I won't do it.
Okay, if you mean it, words from the heart penetrate the heart. If you mean it, I'll listen. Okay, so now the Torah says like this. Next pasuk gimel. Abayin yakenu, you have to give him 40 lashes. La yosef, you can't add any more. Okay? No, 1 second. The Torah says 40. Pen yosef la kesa eila makar abba. He says, because if you strike him an additional blow beyond these, you know, you're gonna get killed. Venikla achicha la inecha, and your brother will be degraded in your eyes. Okay? So the Torah says, the Gemara says, bottom line is, that you don't give him actually 40, it means up to the number 40. And that you have many times in Chumash, when it says, our boy Makenu means up to 40 lashon. Because it has to be a number divided by 3. Okay, but any time we said it can only be like that. Okay, next. Diego, because, okay, with that. Marcus is also usually less. Now, what's the number of 40? So the Mefarshim say 2 things. Number one, because he's going against the Torah that was given 40 days at Har Sinai. Or 40 days that from conception until the embryo, you know, Abayim Yaim, 40 days before the, from the, for the, before the, formation of the kid is 40 days. So that's why the Torah gives the 40. Okay? Now, by the way, Rashi says, this pasuk that says not to hit him extra is a negative commandment that you're not allowed to hit anybody. Now, it's interesting. When Moshe Rabbeinu and Parshas Shmei saw the two Jews fighting, and he said, Vayomer l'Rasha, lama sakar eyecha, why are you hitting your friend? So Rashi over there says he called him a Rashi even though he didn't actually hit him. He was about to hit him. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're a Rasha for wanting to hit the guy. But if you hit him, then you transgress a negative commandment in the Torah.
Aren't these all deductions, Rabbi?
Yeah, but that's the way Torah works. That's what God told Moses at Sinai.
Told Moses what? To deduce everything?
Yep. No, that he told him all these explanations. Okay, but the reason the Mefarshim explained for 40, one second, here. Okay, so we said because he transgresses the 40 days that Torah was given, or 40 days of the, until the kid is formed, and all of that is existing. And it's another interesting thing the Mefarshim say. It says, Maka Rabba. Alela Maka Rabba. Now Rabba, Reish Beis Hei, equals 207. Okay? So it says, how many negative commandments in the Torah are you whipped for? 207. It's just a hint. From all the negative commandments in turn, we'll see in a second why. You only get whipped for, out of the 365 negative commandments. Many of them you get killed for, but there's only 207 that you get whipped for. And therefore it says, Aleila Maka Rabba, meaning when do you get the Maka? For Rabba. When it's 207. But the Torah says like this. V'nikla achicha, and this is a very important thing. Rashi says, as they like in passing. V'nikla achicha le'inecha, Rashi says, here. The whole time the Torah calls him Rasha. And after he got whipped, the Torah calls him achicha, your brother. That means, once the person is punished for his crime, that's it. He's a tzaddik. You can't look at him in a negative way anymore. And that's what the Mefarshim explain, that when the person is, like he says, while a Jew should not tolerate wrongdoing, he must be forgiving when the evil has been purged. And this is a very interesting story. The Gemara tells a story in the Gemara Brachis, that Meir, the famous Rav Meir, had a bunch of neighbors that were making his life miserable. And he wanted to daven that they should die. So Rav Meir's wife, whose name was Bruria, the brilliant woman Bruria, a lot of seminaries named after her. She was Rav Meir's wife, very brilliant. I think she was Chamnina Batradian's daughter, whatever. But Bruria said to him, that's not what King David says in Tillim. That's not what David HaMelech says in Tillim. In Barchi Nafshi, we say, Yitamu chato'im min ha'aretz u'shoyim edenam. And she said to him, this is what Gemara says in Brachas, Bruria said to her husband, it doesn't say, Yitamu chot'im min ha'aretz, may sinners perish from the earth. It says, Yitamu chato'im, sins should perish. So she told her husband, instead of davening they should die, wanting to daven they should repent. And he davened they should repent, and they repented. So once the person, in other words, once the person did wrongdoing, and this in the eyes of Bezdin, whatever, he did tshuva, he got punished for it, it's time to forgive.
So why can't we ever forgive ourselves?
Ourselves not.
What?
Ourselves not.
But if we do something wrong, then we should be able to forgive ourselves.
Nah, we never held ourselves guilty. I just... One more, but let's see the last part which seemingly doesn't fit in here. Leisachsim shor b'dishe. You're not allowed to muzzle an axe in its threshing. Okay? So Rashi says, really it applies to any animal. Okay? It applies to any animal, but the Torah speaks about, you can't muzzle an axe when it's working in the field. I just want to say one thing, because it's late already. What's the connection between this and Leisachsim Shar Bedishai. It's like this pasuk doesn't belong here. No muzzle an ox when he's working. How does he get into here? And then it speaks about Yibum. Like, how in the world does this pasuk Leisachsim Shar Bedishai? So the Gemara learns out from here. Why is the Torah putting it here? Because it teaches us very interesting law. Because this pasuk we just learned is the whole source of lashes in Torah. So the Torah says, though, what type of sin do you get lashes for? Only a sin similar to leisachsim shor bedishai, meaning if there's an action involved in the sin. If there's no action involved in the sin, then you don't get whipped. For instance, if a person transgresses a negative commandment passively, not actively, you don't get whipped. Where do we learn it out from? From this pasuk. Because the Torah in the laws of Malchus says you're not allowed to muzzle an ox when he's plowing, which means that's an active sin. But what happens, or we also learn out, there's no way of rectifying this. The same thing, any negative commandment that you can rectify, the negative commandment is called lav hanitak le'esei. It's connected to a positive mitzvah. You also don't get whipped. For instance, I'll give you an example of each one. You know, you can't own chametz on Pesach. There's a le'yiroyev le'yimotzi. You can't own, you can't see your own chametz on Pesach, right? So it's a negative commandment. If you own chametz during Pesach, you're transgressing a negative commandment. But what happens if a guy just left the chametz in the house? He didn't buy it. He just left chametz in the house. So he can't get whipped. Because he didn't do anything. If he went out on Pesach and bought chametz, then he can get whipped. Because he did an active act of owning chametz. But not getting rid of chametz, that's passive. So if he didn't get rid of his chametz, he's not going to get killed. So what is that? I mean, whipped. 1 minute. Or Lavanita glase is a very simple thing. It says, don't steal. If you steal, veheishif is exela shegozel. You have to return the stolen object. So the Torah says, how do you rectify the stealing? By giving it back. So because the Torah says how to rectify it by giving it back, so then you don't get whipped if you steal. So on stealing, you don't get whipped. Because it's lavanita glase. So this is that's why this pasuk is here, because this pasuk is an example of a negative commandment, number one, that has an action, and if you muzzle it, you're not allowed to muzzle, but if you muzzle it, so then you can't fix what he could have eaten when he was working. Okay, to be continued.